friend of mine called me yesterday and gave me an interesting perspective on the generation of the members of the body of Christ that shall not see death. The Apostle Paul said, our apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we shall not all die. So there's going to be a generation of believers, body of Christ believers, who are not going to die. Well, first of all, good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. This is Martin Zender coming at you, making sense for a living, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar from my laundry room studio. And this man said, you know, Martin, it's going to be interesting because people are going to ask us in the celestials, those human beings who have been made alive, made immortal, had their bodies changed to suit them for a celestial destiny. They're going to say to us, what was it like not to die? Because we're going to be the only ones who have experienced that. Think about it. Not even Jesus Christ can tell you what it's like not to die, because he died. Paul died. All the big shots died. Us? We're going to remain alive, and we're going to be the object of great interest. What was it like not to die? It was great. That's what I'll say. It's great. It was great. But then I also believe that those who died will have a greater contrast, a greater shock, greater delight to be delivered from death into life. We know that the dead will rise first. Those who have died in Christ will rise first. They won't go yet to be with Christ. They will raise from the dead, and then we, the living together with them, will be snatched away together to meet the Lord in the clouds. The reason for clouds, again, I remind you, I love this practicality, is to hide the proceedings from the view of earthlings. Don't want them to see what's going on. They don't deserve it. They're not worthy of it. That's not their fault, but still, I like to say that once in a while. Paul said it. Where was that? Acts chapter 14. Read the whole books of that, the whole book of Acts. You'll find it. Maybe it's 13. Yeah, you do not deem yourselves worthy of aeonian life. Lo, we go to the nations. I'm so interested in that now, suddenly, that I want to find that verse. You're not worthy of this. See, Paul puts away the absolute viewpoint. He knows it's there. He just decides not to exercise it, and he talks relatively 99.9% of the time as a man experiencing stuff, experiencing frustrations. And so here it is in Acts 13, verse 46. Well, let's go to context, verse 44. Wasn't planning on doing this, but that's how the show goes. You know that. Now, on the coming Sabbath, almost the entire city was gathered to hear the word of the Lord. What? I thought the Lord was in heaven. Ah, they heard the word of the Lord through his spokesman, who was the Apostle Paul. Yet the Jews, perceiving the throngs, are filled with jealousy. That's what Jews do. They're filled with jealousy because of the throngs. This is what disturbed the Pharisees so much when Jesus was on earth. He had throngs of people following him. He was taking away their precious followers. Filled with jealousy, and they contradicted the things spoken by Paul. I don't recommend that. It's not going to go well for you in the judgment. Eventually it will, sure. I know that. You're going to be saved for eternity. But in the meantime, you might not see the light of day if you contradict the things spoken by Paul. For sure, you're not going to escape the coming indignation. The opposite of contradicting the things spoken by Paul is to accept and believe the things spoken by Paul. And on top of that, they blasphemed. So not only did they not believe Paul, they blasphemed him. Being bold, love this, bold. Both Paul and Barnabas say, to you first was it necessary, speaking to the Jews, that the word of God be spoken. Yet since, in fact, you are thrusting it away and are judging yourselves not worthy of aeonian life. Lo, we are turning to the nations. This is early, early, early in Paul's ministry. And he is talking to the Jews, first certifying that Jesus is the Messiah, using the Old Testament prophecies to do it. And then, that's in the morning. In the afternoon, he's teaching his gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, to the nations. He doesn't have to prove to the nations that Jesus is the Messiah. All he has to do is tell them that. Hey, Greek guy, Jesus is a Messiah. Okay, awesome, man. Because they don't have issues. They don't have baggage. They haven't been looking for the Messiah their entire life. So you can tell them anybody's a Messiah. Awesome, dude. That's cool. Jesus is a Messiah. You tell a... Oh, wait a minute. I forgot to put the... Hey, Jesus is a Messiah. Oh, that's sweet, man. Yeah, that's a Greek. And these guys are going to heaven to rule the universe because God chooses the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid, man. Okay, great. I love it. So, we're turning to the nations, for thus the Lord has directed us. I have appointed thee for a light of the nations. And so, it is ridiculous to think that Paul waited until the last 3 years of his life, went 30 years or so not even whispering his evangel. Come on! That's crazy talk. It's not true either. I've appointed you to be for salvation as far as the limits of the earth. Now on hearing this, the nations rejoiced. That's awesome, dude. And glorified the word of the Lord, and they believe whoever were set for aeonian life. If you're set for aeonian life, that means chosen beforehand, you will believe. Love that verse. Got a lot to do today. That was a sidetrack. Here we go. Got to get back to that chart, and I will. Paul prophesied about this, these charts that I showed you yesterday. Paul prophesied about Dr. Richard Swenson. He didn't prophesy specifically about Dr. Swenson and this book he would write, Margin, the back of which would include these fantastic graphs showing how things have gone berserk since 1960, a trend that gently began at the dawn of the Industrial Revolution at the beginning of the 18th century, and then went along on a normal, sane curve for years, and then beginning in 59, the year of my birth, and 1960, went through the roof into the affliction we find ourselves in today. And buddy, we're afflicted. If you don't think we're afflicted, then I don't know. Maybe you're living on a tropical island somewhere. It's really not a bad idea. Living on a tropical island. How about a tropical peninsula? That's the next best thing for me. So anyway, you see, all right, I got an important point to make to you about why God is doing this. I suggested it before. Let's finish these curves, and I'll get to that. Loving the curves here. I'm loving the curves. Air miles traveled. That's the last chart I showed you, I believe. I left off there yesterday. Look at that thing. It's like climbing the wall here. Climbing the wall. And I suggested that our air miles traveled at the snatching away is going to be even better. Foreign travel. Everybody thinks it's going to be better in another country. Look at foreign travel. You know, for the most of civilization, people didn't generally... trying the best here on the laundry cam. People did not generally go beyond the 10 miles from their home. They just wandered around their neighborhoods. They didn't have any desire to, except for the great explorers, talking about your Da Gamas, your De Sotos, your De Leons, your Columbuses, your Magellans. These guys had an itch to get out of town, get on their boats and get out of town, and that's what they did. But nowadays, now with the invention of air travel, thanks to Wilbur and Orville, we are able to do that, and we think that things are going to be better on the other side of the fence. Is it grass greener? No. Motor vehicle travel. We're a mobile society. This is motor vehicle travel. We just want to move because I think we think things are going to be better. We're trying to escape our troubles, and we can't. Because no matter where you go, you take your troubles with you. You take your neuroses with you. You take your unbelief with you. You take your crap with you. Passenger cars registered. Same thing. I don't need to show you that chart because it looks the same as all the other charts. Ooh, look at population of the world. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Look at the population of the world. It's gone berserk. And now this chart is starting in the year zero. Like this is going back to Adam. seriously, the year 0 to 2000. So this is a very long chart, but it's the same type of graph. Population of the world right here. Boring, 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 a few people, and then kapow. God suddenly, almost like God's suddenly realizing, this is not true, of course, but I'm speaking as a man, because I am a man. God's saying, wow, it's getting close to the end times. I need to accelerate things here. And so he turns up the knob of civilization, or uncivilization, better to say, and he did that in 1959, 1960, and he says, it's time for it to begin. It's time for the end to begin. I really think that's what God said. Time for the end to begin, and so I need 8 billion people in the world, because as in the days of Noah, thus also shall it be in the days of the Son of, Son of Man? Yeah, or something like that. Anyway, the population of the world, I checked this out at several websites. Nobody can know for sure, of course, but the general population of the earth at the time of the flood of Noah was 8 billion people. So it's like God was, you know, kind of, yeah, not thinking about things too much. The centuries are wearing on, and he knows he has to get the world to 8 billion people or thereabouts to be a parallel world population with the days of Noah. And then it's like he wakes up in 1959, 1960. I better put the pedal to the metal here, because I've been dawdling for 5,900 years. And so look at this curve, world population. It's like God finally realized, the end's coming. I better get the population up where it needs to be. Of course, God has this planned the whole time. And he's doing this in a contracted period of time. Population of the United States, same kind of chart. Life expectancy, that goes up. He wants people to live longer, kind of like they did in the days of Noah, not that extreme. Christianity, look at this. Here's a chart for Christianity. He needs a lot of Christians in the world so he can destroy them, so he can have a one-world religion. See, Christianity, very dim, very dull here as this line goes on. And now Christianity starting in, again, the 50s, the 60s, goes crazy, off the charts. You think, that's good. Look at all the Christians in the world. Oh, happy day. No, it's preparing for the beast, because the beast is made up of Christians. So God needs more people to worship the wild beast. That's why there's an increase in Christians in the world. It's not a good thing. It's a bad thing. Or it's a good thing if you want to look at it in terms of the wild beast. I prefer to look at it in terms of the wild beast. Now, explosive power. Look at this chart. Explosive power. This is our ability to destroy ourselves. We've never had this ability of explosive power in the history of the world. That's the top chart I'm showing you. Look at it. Boing. It goes berserk at, of course, 1960. Well, actually, it started in the 50s with atomic weapons. The 40s, yeah. We bombed... dropped the atom bomb in the 40s. Oppenheimer was working on that. Einstein. Anyway, this last chart here at the bottom is maximum speed. Yeah, we've increased our maximum speed every day. We increase our speed. That top one again is world population. No, it's not. Explosive power. So, remember I told you God is quick in his judgments and lingering in his blessings. Well, he is building the stresses and the pressure in a short period of time, because that's what he does. He knows we can't stand this kind of pressure for thousands of years. So humanity goes on at a fair amount of leisure with no technology to torture them, and they're fairly happy, and they're living on bananas and papayas and just riding their horses. And now God says, okay, now it's time to begin the time of the end. And he begins it slowly in 1800. He begins it very slowly, and then it gradually increases. And in 1959, 1960, he says, that's it. This is the era of the end. kaboom, these charts show it. It's based on research. Now's the time of the end, and God says this ain't going to last long. That's why the chart's exponential. The curve is exponential, because that's God saying. To me, when I see those curves, I hear God saying, don't worry, this kind of affliction is not going to last long. I'm going to turn the volume up quick. It's going to be a steep climb. It's going to be a steep curve, and it won't even be a curve anymore. It'll be practically a vertical line. And that's what I'm doing for you. He's doing it to us, but he's doing it for us, making it short, making it quick, stuffing lots of things into a short period of time. That's the mercy of God. Paul prophesied here. Going to squeeze this in at the end of the show. This is Paul prophesying about Dr. Swenson's charts. Now this, know, I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, that in the last days, perilous periods will be present. There it is. In the last days, perilous periods will be present. That word, perilous, Greek word, English equivalent, is ferocious. Ferocious. It's ferocious not only in its content, but it's ferocious in its compounding complexity and danger. We live in a dangerous world. We live in a complex world. It's ferocious in the exponential curve, the vertical climb. That's ferocious, let alone what's inside that vertical climb, let alone what's happening during that vertical climb. The vertical climb itself, if you're in a plane and you're a jet and you're taking off, you know how it is. It's a steep climb. Okay, but some of these jets, jet fighters, military aircraft, they take off almost vertically. And it's like, I can't take this. The G-forces are pushing against you and your cheeks are going blah, 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 blah. That is where we are right now, and it doesn't last long. Human beings can't take it that long. Paul says, this know, in the last days, perilous periods will be present, and he goes through that entire list. You know it. People will be selfish, fond of money, ostentatious, proud, calumniators, stubborn to parents. On and on it goes. We are living in those perilous periods, yet we shall be delivered out of these perilous periods by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.